إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه إخوتي الكرام أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, I remind you and myself to have the taqwa, the fear of Allah, to be conscious of Allah, because fear of Allah is provision and safety for us in this world and on the day of resurrection. Allah Most High, He says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ The day when no wealth nor children shall be of benefit for a person except the one who comes to Allah with a clean heart. With a clean heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ Every soul shall taste death. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And you shall be recompensed for what you have done on the Day of Judgment. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ Whoever is taken away from the fire and enters paradise, that is the one who has attained success. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, every soul shall taste of death. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ Every person, whether young or old, rich or poor, healthy or sick, leaders or the led, no one can escape the grasp of death. Nobody can escape the taste of death. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us of this inevitable destiny. He says, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيِّدًا Wherever you are, death will catch you. Death will overtake you, even if you are in towers that are strongly built, in fortresses. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا Wherever you are, death shall overtake you, even if you are in a fortress. You cannot escape death. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, death is a mystery because it's a matter that relates to the soul. And our knowledge of the soul is limited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوْتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا They ask you about the soul. Say, the soul is a matter from my Lord. And you have only been given a little of knowledge. Death is a mystery. How is it that a young man, in the peak of his youth, full of energy, is suddenly dropped dead, his body lifeless, all of his energy drained from him, all of his senses come to a still? Understanding death, how it can overtake the young and bring a strong man in the pinnacle of his youth to be dead is a mystery. How is it that a young person could be a scholar, an erudite scholar, could be a physician, the greatest physician? He could be a person, a leader, a ruler. Yet all of these people, their skill, their knowledge, cannot turn away the cup of death. All of these people, whatever amount of knowledge they have, they cannot escape the death. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah Ta'ala, He says, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقَدِمُونَ. If the hour comes to them, the appointed hour in their book, they cannot delay it, and they cannot bring it closer. The fixed time is set for them. No one can escape the time that is appointed for them. And Hassan al-Basri, he had a very famous statement. Rather, Amr ibn Abdullah, he used to climb the minbar and he would tell people, he said, O people, how many people saw a morning or saw the beginning of a day but never saw the end of the day? How many people expected the morning to come but never saw it? How many people they expect the morning to come but they never saw it? If you had only known what it was like at the moment of death, if you had only known your appointed time and what the experience would be, then you would hate or you would detest nursing the loving love of this world. You would detest the love of this world and its bedazzlement. You would detest the attractions and trappings of this world and its deception. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, a man or a woman, they enjoy their good health, go about walking the earth in merrymaking, in happiness, in arrogance, laughing and enjoying the treasures and the beauties of this world, and then death overtakes them. Their limbs become lifeless and cold. Their heart becomes to a stop. Illness and death remove this person and closes his record. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, death is near. Death is near to each one of us. Each day that goes by, we come closer to death. Each day that goes by, we become closer and closer to death until we become one of the dead. In fact, we should count ourselves amongst the dead, because all of us, that is our ultimate end. When we reflect upon this, we realize that this life, this world is nothing more than a flower that blossoms and soon wilts and dies. This world is nothing more than a lantern or a candle that burns and soon will become extinguished. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, let those who chase and ponder or crave the desires of this world, let them reflect upon the graves and the cemeteries. Let them reflect upon those people who abide in those graves. It is such a tragedy that we see that many people laughing and merrymaking and joking at the time of a funeral. At the time of the burial of the dead, we see laughing and joking. And this is a sign that the hearts have become heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that people have forgotten about the grave, the gravity of this terrible, this event that all people have to meet. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, true happiness is those whose eyes have been opened by somebody reminding them of death before it comes to them. True happiness is those who open their eyes and realize the reality of death before it comes to them. This is the reality that every person should wake up and realize to and not close their eyes to. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, it is expected that the one who knows that he will die and be buried and resurrected on the day of resurrection and will enter either paradise or hellfire, somebody who realizes this reality, then they should prepare for it. Somebody who realizes that death will overtake them, then they should be ready for it and prepare for it. They should count themselves amongst the dead. No wealth, no family, no people can turn away death. No matter how much family you have, no much how much wealth one has, we cannot turn away the messenger of death, the angel of death. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, where are those people who achieved all their worldly aims? What happened to them? The people who went by and achieved all of their worldly aims, did that benefit them at all when the moment of death had come to them? Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, their example is like a person who built a mansion but never lived in it. Like a person who had or collected so much food but never feasted upon it. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Awais al-Qarni, he said that before you go to sleep, you should ponder and reflect upon death. And every moment you are awake, you should think about your death. This is a very beneficial words of advice. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, those who remember death, the tribulations and hardships of this life, they seem insignificant to a person. A person who reflects upon his moment of death and the trials of death and entering the grave, the tribulations and hardships of this world appear insignificant to such a person. When we think about these things, about the moment of death, it should deter us from doing sin. It should deter us from our lusts and desires, and it should encourage us to work harder to obey Allah and to worship Him and to increase our efforts to worship Him. Some of the pious Salaf, if it was said to them, "You're going to die tomorrow," they would say, or it would be said that they could not increase their good deeds. They busied themselves with so much remembrance of Allah and worship. If they knew that death was coming to them, they would not increase their actions. This is their level of consciousness of death. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, how do we prepare for death? How do we prepare for death? First of all, preparing for death, or death itself, remembering it, should not make us loathsome to people or to isolate ourselves and not work and seek risk. This is not the purpose of remembering death. It's not for us to abandon our commitment to our families and for working. But remembrance of death, it removes hypocrisy from our hearts. And it reminds us of our eternal abode. Preparing for death, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, first and foremost, we should abandon all of the grave sins that we do. If somebody who contemplates death, he can prepare for it by abandoning the gravity of the grave sins that he is committing. We prepare for death by removing the hatred and rancor from our hearts towards others. We prepare for death by giving the rights of others, by returning the trust to their rightful owners. We prepare for death by being good to our kith and kin, to our families. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Ibn Mubarak, he quoted someone as saying, "If the remembrance of death were to leave my heart for a moment, it would ruin my heart. It would ruin it. It would spoil it." And the beautiful and wise saying of the pious predecessors, Whoever remembers death frequently, he is given three blessings. He is blessed with three things. One who remembers death, he is quick to make repentance to Allah Ta'ala. Person who is conscious of death, he hastens quickly to make tawbah to Allah. Number two, he finds contentedness. He is content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And number three, a person who remembers death often, a person who is conscious of death, then that person will be energetic when they stand in worship of Allah. They'll find energy in their worship. And then this pious predecessor, he said, those who forget about death, those who are not conscious of death, they are cursed with three things. One is that they delay repentance. They put off repentance to Allah. Number two, they are not content with whatever Allah has given them. And number three, they find laziness in their acts of worship. They find that it is difficult for them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, when will the one who is following his lusts and desires and wants and desires, when will they realize the reality of death? When will they remember death? When will the person who is busy in sin and chasing after what is forbidden, one who does what is unlawful, one who misses their prayers, one who commits fornication, one who commits usury, one who oppresses, when will they remember death? When will one who does not differentiate between halal and haram, the one who abandons the Quran, when will they reflect upon death? Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, when will the one whose heart is filled with hatred and rancor towards others remember death? Beloved Muslims, the Prophet ﷺ, when death came to him, he was given the choice between remaining in this world or going to the paradise that Allah has chosen for him. As the Prophet ﷺ used to say, as was narrated by Aisha, there is no prophet except he was shown his abode in paradise at the moment of death. And he was given the choice whether to remain in the world or enter or go to his abode in paradise. And then Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's head was on my lap and he fainted and then came back from unconsciousness. And then he looked above and his last words were the Bal al-Rafiq al-A'la. No, or only I would like the highest companionship. And she said, then I realized the reality of what the Prophet ﷺ had told me before. I understood what he meant by no prophet is given except he is given the choice, and I realized he had chosen the highest companionship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, every person will fall into one of two categories at the moment of death. There are those who will be happy. The angels will descend upon them and strengthen them, and they will be those who are happy or will be given good glad tidings at the moment of death. They will remain firm. And there are those who will be saddened and suffer disgrace and ignominy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes those who the angels will descend upon. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Those who say, my Lord is Allah, and they hold firmly, they are upright upon it, the angels, they descend upon them. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid and do not be sad, and be given good tidings of the paradise. And those who turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His commandments, Allah says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ Oh Allah, send me back. Why does he want to be sent back? To enjoy the desires of this world? To enjoy the pleasures of this world? Qatada, he said no. He wishes he could go back so that he can do more righteous deeds. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ So that I can go back and do righteousness in the world that I had left behind. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Ibn al-Qayyim, he reminded us that saying or dictating the shahadatayn, La ilaha illallah, to the person at the moment of death is from the sunnah. Because at that moment, at the moment of death, then a person, he becomes overwhelmed. He experiences horrors at that moment. And he becomes weak, and the shaitan is close to man. And it is feared that the effect of the shaitan may overwhelm him and overtake him. So saying the shahada when the person, all of his lust, all of his strength is gone, if he says shahada at that time, this is a sincere word. Because of it, it will erase his sins. As the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever says the shahada at the moment of death shall enter paradise. We should have good opinion of Allah at the moment of death. We should say and remind the one who's dying of his good deeds, so he has a positive opinion of Allah. When one dies, we should only speak of his good and to avoid speaking of his sins. And from the sunnah, when washing the dead, is to cover their faults if any is seen. And the family should hasten to pay off their debts if they have any, and the debts of Allah, such as fasting that he promised to do. This is from the sunnah. Ibn Mas'ud, he said, the believer will never find rest until he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقُولُ هَذَا الْقَوْلُ أَسْتَغْفِرَ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَاءَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, I remind you and myself of the grave or the very great importance of hastening to get close to the ulama, to get the guidance from our scholars and ulama, to follow the path of the sunnah and not to isolate and abandon that path. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we spend so much time for the dunya. We spend so much time for the dunya, for our business, for our work. Let us take some time for the deen of Allah. Let us take time out from our schedule to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make time for the deen of Allah. We should not isolate and abandon ourselves, or abandon or isolate ourselves from the knowledge and the guidance. We should not be the lone sheep that strays away from the guidance of the ulama. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to take time out to get close to the people who explain to us the commandments of Allah. We cannot be astray and alone and isolate and abandon ourselves. Respected beloved brothers in Islam, we have to follow the guidance. We have to follow the people of guidance. Those are the people who explain the commandments of Allah. They are the ulama, the scholars of Islam. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we must not be left bereft of guidance and wander and go astray. All of us, this is the greatest obligation upon us. The greatest and most profound and important obligation, which the ulama underscore, is that we have to get close to the teachers of ilm, to the scholars of knowledge, the pious predecessors, so we can hold to the sunnah of Allah. That we stay on the sunnah of Allah and not be left alone and isolated, wandering hither astray. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, in order to follow the deen, we have to encourage one another to follow this path of the Sunnah. We have to encourage our families, our children, our colleagues to follow the path of knowledge, to follow the path of the ulama, not to wander and go astray. We cannot, it is too grave of a danger to isolate ourselves from the knowledge and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I remind you about the importance of learning the Tajweed of the Qur'an. And we mentioned last week the ruling of the Ha. And the letter Ha, it can be pronounced different lengths depending on the rules of Tajweed. The letter Ha can be pronounced one beat, it can be pronounced two beats, and it can even be pronounced five beats. These are called the Madood in the Arabic language. It's something very important for all of us to learn, inshallah. One other ruling that we can study or learn about is the ruling of the Dad. The Dad is a very unique letter in Arabic. It's pronounced from the back of the tongue, from the sides of the tongue, not from the tip of the tongue. The letter Dad in Arabic, pronounced from either the left side of the tongue or the right side of the tongue towards the back by the molars. It's not pronounced from the tip. Wal-Dwa-Neen. Not Wal-Zaa-Neen from the tip, and not Wal-Daa-Neen for the fixed sound from the back and sides of the tongue. This will preserve the meaning of the Qur'an, insha'Allah ta'ala. May Allah bless you with the Qur'an al-Azim. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna tiba'a, wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba. Allahumma ighfir lil-mu'mineena wal-mu'minat, wal-muslimina wal-muslimat, al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat. اللهم اشفي مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشفي مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم تب علينا توبة نصوحة اللهم اعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين ورد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم وجزاكم الله خير وأقيموا الصلاة.